Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
Is it 28?
That's 22. Welcome to episode 22 of the webcomic beacon. This is the webcomic beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. This week's show is going to be, we're going to be having an open forum, finally, with a lot of people that are hopefully going to contribute, or I'm going to kick their butts. We're going to be talking about grayscale, black and white comics, and color comics. And with us today, we've got Tanya Higgins of Betapone.com. Tanya?
Hello, hello.
We also have Aaron Edwards. Is it Edwards?
What? You!
Shoot! Aaron Oh, crap!
I'm sorry.
Aaron Lewis.
I was waiting for him to actually say my last name.
We have Aaron Lewis of tbowlcomic.com. Hello.
Hooray.
And with us is a guest, Michael.
Yes.
Roustin.
Hey. Hello.
The guest strip project at moveok.co.uk/GSP.
You do realize you can actually quote it as www.gueststripproject.co.uk.
Oh, he knows now.
Oh, well, okay, or there. All right, let's see here. I do got a call in, and I also got an email in. Do we want to hear the call in right away, just to get things started? Or do we want to
get things started? Yeah.
All right.
Good.
No. Okay. I got to find it again. Oh, here we are.
Hello, my name is Ryan Dow. I make a webcomic called Introspective Comics, available at introspectivecomics.com. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, and I'm calling because I heard Fez talking smack about grayscale comics, and I felt compelled to defend myself as I am the creator of a grayscale webcomic. First, I'll tell you why I don't make a full-color comic. I intend to print these comics in grayscale to keep printing costs down. Printing in color is expensive, and I'd rather spend money on other things, like making more comics. Sure, I could make a full-color webcomic and convert it to grayscale for print, but that's a tough sale. I don't want to do that. I don't want to charge people for a grayscale version of my full-color comic, which is online for free. My only other alternative to grayscale is to go pure black and white, rendering tones by cross-hatching. I don't do this because, well, my cross-hatching sucks, and I could spend years learning the art of cross-hatching, and maybe I will eventually. But really, the main reason that people use cross-hatching is because they distributed their artwork through a copying machine, because copying machines weren't really good at rendering tones. They used cross-hatching, which was a way to kind of fake a tone while keeping everything in straight black and white. But computer monitors can render tones with ease, so I don't really feel like it's as necessary anymore. And with the advent of digital printing, it's easy to convert grayscale to straight black and white. But more importantly, I make a grayscale comic because I feel it fits the tone of my comic. My comic is grounded and understated. It's not a wacky comedy or a fantasy adventure. It's a dramedy. It's a drama strip with a dry sense of humor, and I think the gray fits. It fits who I am, and really, shouldn't a webcomic be an extension of your personality? I mean, the webcomic is not going to please everyone, and I know, Fez, you said that you're not a big fan of drama strips, so, you know, I'm not going to sell this comic to you anyway. But I like grayscale, and I, you know, just felt like saying my piece. And I'm sorry I couldn't make it there. I've got to be at a convention. And Fez, why aren't you at MicroCon? It's going to be a fun time. So, in conclusion, this is Ryan Dow with Introspective Comics. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Thanks, Ryan, for that call-in. That was actually a lot longer than I would have liked it, but hey.
We actually
got a call-in.
Now you're complaining about the length of the call.
You didn't even let me finish, but we actually got a call-in. It's really good.
Oh, no, yeah, but you start off, you don't say, oh, thanks for that, that's great. You start off with, oh, well, it's a bit too long for what I really wanted.
Yeah, great.
More people call in, you know.
Well, no, that's fine. Let's see.
Limit yourself to 15 words. That's all you need.
Well, I was thinking 200, but... okay, no, I have nothing against Grayscale Comics in particular, except a few. I mean, I started my webcomic as a pencil sketch, and it eventually turned it into Grayscale, since mine is called A Pessimistic Sense of Inadequacy, and I was going for, like, a depressing kind of look. So I can understand when it comes from more of a kind of a look and a feel to it, but sometimes there are comics which you look like... I'm going to pick on it again. Dead Days, the deaddays.net. I don't think it varies enough in the grayscale. It's too close to a similar grayscale that almost kind of meshes, blends together. And it doesn't look like something that really utilizes the feel of a gray tone or the need of gray tone. And he makes a good point on... Ryan was making a good point on the, you know, the black and white and the cross-hatching. You know, you don't necessarily need to do that anymore. What do you guys think?
I think it's a massive cop-out to say that, oh, black and white sets the tone for my comic.
Oh, God.
Because, like, if you think about it, if that's true, then is your whole comic really, like, that depressing to where you would never, ever use color if that's the only reason you do is to set the tone? I mean, wouldn't there be, like, a nice, happy point in the comic where you'd want it?
No happiness ever!
No happiness!
Okay, we've gone into emo angst.
Okay.
I think that there are comics for which Grayscale, you know, sets a very good tone, and it doesn't necessarily have to be depressing, but you know, very serious or very dramatic, or I've even seen it used almost to display a time frame, like you know, a particular era. In which case, it's absolutely worth it. And I think Fess's issue with Dead Days is that it is a comedic comic, and the grayscale doesn't support the tone of the comic.
Yeah, but why do you need color to support a comic? Sorry, I'm only like, so,
okay.
I'm going to stand up for the grayscalers out there.
No, go to the site right now. It's panel 2.
I am on the site. I'm actually emailed this guy for the guest strip project, so I actually quite like it, to be honest.
See, I read
panel 2
I
needs
no
color.
Problem.
Look at how much panel 2 needs color. You can kind of infer that I think he's wearing lipstick and possibly a rainbow clown wig, a hula hoop, a chihuahua, and a cape. That
yes,
just doesn't look right in grayscale.
Yeah, but if you notice, you already recognize them in color. You don't actually recognize them in grayscale. You already know he's wearing lipstick. You don't need the color to support that.
I think it could be a goatee. I can't tell.
Well, and again, the collar was... Good Lord. The collar was absolutely correct. If you're planning on printing these, and I know that the artist of Dead Days is, you can't afford to print it in color. You can't just take a color comic and say, hey, print this up in black and white. It looks like crap. So... doing it in grayscale allows you to make cheap enough prints to actually make a profit on the books that you put out without asking your readers to spend, profit. You know, the thing where we get money back for all the hours and time and effort we put into our work.
You just reorder your printing and the masses will speak if they want color or not, you know?
Well, but the problem is the masses don't want to pay for color.
That's it, yeah,
what?
Exactly.
It's a big price. It's spendy to print in color.
I agree with you. When I was doing the kids' book project, obviously I had to get all the like sort of quotes and stuff for the printing, and color just doubles the price
easily.
It's just,
it can look so much better. Let me give an example. Okay, we were talking about Dead Days, which is grayscale, but there's like no real like. It's very middle. There's no stark white or stark black except for, like, maybe in the text. Now, if you look for something more of a traditional print comic, black and white, newspaper type of thing, like Out There at outtherecomic.com. I believe this guy used to do a lot, R.C. Monroe used to do a lot of newspaper comic, I believe. And if so, it definitely shows, and there's a very good level of professionalism in the drawings as you go through. Being able to fit everything in such a small little area, and so I have things.
That's not
very
grayscale.
Clear.
That's cross-hatching.
I know, but this is what I'm saying. Black and white looks a lot better, I think, in comparison. because it's like you got more of a definition with the black. You have to do more contours. I don't know. Maybe it's like a little bit of like old school feeling to it. But there's sometimes just grayscale, which just it does too much of the gray, so it just kind of all like blends together, and there's no stark contrasts. And it makes
Are you still going?
Go ahead.
I prefer cross-hatching. You're absolutely correct. There, you have more contrast. You get more detail.
And textures.
Unfortunately, and textures, absolutely. It's very difficult. I mean, have you tried professional cross-hatching?
No.
Give it a go. My brother has several times tried to teach me cross-hatching, and it's miserable. I can't do it. I can do the really cheesy, cartoony cross-hatching, but this level of detail and realism is very difficult and very time-consuming. So, you know, maybe it's a cop-out, but grayscale's easier, too.
Yeah, but grayscale can show color. You know, with cross-hatching, it is just black or white. You can't really tell with color. You know, as going back to the Dead Days strip, you know, obviously, you know, you can tell that obviously he's got different colored hair because of the gray tones. Okay, yeah, sure, he didn't use color in it, but why need to use color all the time? Why not use grey? Why not, you know, try to show the different shades of grey? You know, life is not black and white. They say it is grey. You know, it's the grey bits in between. So why not have a life of grey?
I will say, looking at just these two strips, just Dead Days and, what was the other one? Out There.
Yeah.
I get no sense of colour at all from Out There. I can't look at that and know that her dress is lighter or darker than the bedsheets. I have no inkling, whereas in the Dead Days comic, which is in grayscale, you definitely at least know which has richer color and which has lighter colors.
I don't know. But my lazy eye just kind of falls over it, and I just look at it, just see gray, and I don't see any, you know, difference, but...
But technically you did, because you then commented about the hairstyle, the hula hoop.
Well, that's because I was specifically looking for something to criticize. And it just presented me. Let's check our chat room. Does anybody in the chat room have something specific to say about what we're talking about right now, or want to call in?
Yeah, but don't take too long on your call-ins, because we only have a short show.
Oh, come on!
About 2 seconds. 2 seconds only.
I adore you.
Baron Kitten says tits.
Awesome.
Okay.
Exactly. That's what we need more of in the grayscale world. That's what we need.
Nice.
That's what we need more of, period.
Baron Kitten actually says, it doesn't matter what style of art you use, color, grayscale, or black and white. Well, then we wouldn't have any sort of, like, you know, topic of conversation for this show if we just agreed.
Yeah, you've just ruined the whole topic. You know.
It is actually an interesting...
Where's the conflict?
Read between a little, in that as long as it's skilled, it doesn't matter. I mean, if it sucks, it sucks, regardless of whether it's black and white or grayscale or color. But
yeah, but you can, like, you can mask it more with color, you know what I mean?
There is a webcomic, Little Terrors, that actually does, it's in black and white, but they use shade of colors to actually emphasize certain parts. So they have reds, obviously, for blood and stuff like that, and
like
purple for... Exactly, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, Sin City, I'm sure, is that Sin City in grayscale, or is that just like sort of black and white cross-stitchy type thingy, midjig?
I actually have to go find the graphic novel. It's in my living room. I want to say it was black and white with shades of color, with splashes of color, but I could be wrong. You know,
I think grayscale or black and white with little splashes of color looks kind of cool. I'm biased,
so that's what
I did
Dead Days. If you're listening, John Rios or whatever, you want a little bit of color, just a little tiny bit, maybe red lipstick, but just the lipstick.
Well, I'm just
give us a hint.
I just
color.
Look at that second panel. Yes, I can figure out what that's probably supposed to be. But
there we go. Use
it's
your
just
imagination.
Screaming to be colored. I'm just looking at it. It just screams, color me. I don't know.
Hey, Fest.
Yeah?
Isn't there a way for people to call in directly from TalkShoe?
There is. And I'm going to see... hey, Amulet was the first person that I was talking to me. Amulet, did you want to call in?
Jacob also wanted to call in.
Sin City is grayscale, so now we can go.
Hey! So now technically you're picking on Sin City as well.
Oh.
Yeah, and Frank Miller
was an awesome movie. Yeah. Yeah, our supporters are now growing now.
Hello?
We've got the Sin City people behind us.
Hello, Amulet? Or should we call you Amy?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, great, I can... Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Did you have a question or comment about what we're talking about?
I think there's a bit of delay on this thing.
I like how when people say there's a bit of delay on this thing, and then suddenly silence, just to see if she actually catches up with us.
We started the entire show just to mess with people. It was a secret until now.
Are you still there?
No.
Is she not there?
I'm going with no.
No. It's a too far delay. She's actually in another universe.
Okay, the next time you hear me say something, go ahead and say whatever it is you want to say. Just do a whole spiel so we can... We'll cut out all the dead air, so go when you're ready.
Okay, well, I'll probably say that I think color tends to attract more attention in a webcomic, and that black and white have to work a lot harder. If black and white is used, it should be really good black and white, really good quality. And as someone who's drawn the black comic myself, and now I'm catching it from those.
Oops, she went a little muffled there.
I think we lost her.
See, she was going with the like sort of the like 2 minute segment that we were only allowed to have for a call. She's like, oh my god, I've gone over. I better mute myself now.
Best just chops everybody off now at 2 minutes. That's all you
need. Exactly. Yeah. 2 minutes. Thank you for calling. Who's next?
Now, she had a good point. My comic in black and white would suck. There's no way I could support that. It's very simple line work. And if I tried to just post that in black and white, it would look very much unfinished. You look at any work by, say, Jonan Vasquez, and you never get that sense of incompleteness. It's excellent black and white work. So, again, maybe it just comes to a quality issue.
Do you think that people who actually do the grayscaling actually does it in color and then actually decides, oh, I'm just going to grayscale this down a bit and, you know, people won't notice?
I've seen some comics that have, that began in color and coloring took too long and moved to grayscale.
Wow.
But I mean, for like the weekly process, I've seen a lot of people that'll do it in grayscale first and then color it.
Ooh. Right, because then the grayscaling adds shading elements to the color.
See, I should really draw, but then again, I'd only draw stick men, so I wouldn't really be that good. But then again, my stick men could be in grayscale or black and white.
They could. You could even do cross-hatching with stick men.
Hey! I'd even learn the word as well.
I think we got another call-in from a roof pig.
You only have 2 minutes.
Hello, roof pig.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes.
Maybe mm-hmm. a little bit farther from the mic.
Ooh, sorry about that. How about now?
A little bit farther?
Hello.
Oh, now you got it.
It just seems you're speaking really close to the mic.
Yeah, move away from the room.
You're 2 minutes away really now.
Okay, you have a comment?
I'm set up here, so.
You're right. 2 minutes. Yeah, start now.
Oh, jeez.
Am I okay to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to make a comment about the... this is your webcomic impression guy, by the way.
Okay.
I didn't know if you knew the name there. I wanted to make a comment about the printing color versus printing black and white or grayscale. I'm in the process right now of getting a color book printed out. And if you search for the right printer, you can find a really good price. I am not... paying all that much. I don't want to start throwing numbers out there or anything because that's kind of unprofessional, but it can be done. It's not impossible. And I think people take the easy way out when they could be, you know, printing their color comics out very nicely.
Yeah.
Okay, so you could drop a source, though. Where, yeah, like, where definitely. Did you get it? Where did
I'd
you get it?
I'd love to actually find out, to be honest with you.
I'm sorry, did you ask where I'm getting it from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually a printer in Canada called Art Bookbindery.
Oh.
You do realize their business is now going to boom. Every single webcomic out there is actually going to go straight there and just go. You should get a discount for actually naming them, I think.
Yeah, send us a link in the email, and we'll be sure to put it on our show notes, too.
Yeah, if I can find a place then Comic Express, I'll totally do it.
Now, the important thing is, are you in Canada?
No, I'm not. I'm actually in California.
Brilliant. Because sometimes you end up paying through the nose for shipping and duties and blah, 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 whenever you're dealing with another country, so that's good to know.
Baron Kitten also suggests Kablam as a printing source.
Yeah. Kablam does do decent printing for good prices.
They do,
there's nowhere in America. Not America. Great Britain. Do apologize. I thought I was an American then. have a nice day.
You're going to get it by your buddies now.
But it's nowhere in the UK. You guys have Comic Press, you have Kablam, you have quite a lot of really good sort of places to go. And in the, I think there's Lulu as well, I hate to mention them. And I think Lulu have been thinking of coming into the UK, but they haven't sort of done that step yet. I know they went to a convention last year, the UK Web and Mini Comics thing, and they had a table there, and they were actually trying to get people interested in publishing with them, but they haven't made that step over, so there's still a lot of shipping costs. So I want to see a UK publishing firm, because over here it would be so much it's gonna be so much cheaper actually getting it from the States, isn't it? So what am I talking about?
I don't know if this will help, but Baron Kitten says he's pretty sure the internet's also in the UK.
Well, the internet the shipping
it's
is
Stone
not.
Ages in the UK. We're still got little hamsters peddling wheels over here, man.
Make them go faster, and you'll get your shipping cheaper.
Well, if they sold mini whips, I would be whipping my hamster right now and getting him to go faster.
That's gonna be the new euphemism for masturbation. Now, that's all that ever happens. Somebody says something strange.
Whipping my hamster out.
Baron Kitten is asking, why does it have to be UK based? It's like people in America are not the only people that are ordering comics. They don't want to print their comics in America and necessarily ship them all the way to the UK.
It's actually two reasons. It's not just the shipping. It's also the conversion rate for money.
Yeah.
And the time.
Distribution as well. Not many places, not many publishing firms, unless it's print to demand or print on demand.
Right.
You have to, artists have to actually sort of send them out. So, for example, I hate to go back to it, but the Kids Book Project, I went into a post office and actually had 200 envelopes all signed and sealed, and told them to give me, stamps. I think it was about 120 were going to the United States, 70 to Britain, some to Japan, all over the place. And unfortunately, the poor lady behind the counter pressed the wrong button, so we had to put stamps on every single one of them. My tongue was a bit dry at the end of that one. But that's the thing, if you're an artist, you have to distribute them yourself. So obviously that's a cost as well. So you need to get it, if you're buying a book, for example, from the UK and getting it from the United States, you got the shipping sort of to you. Then obviously you've got to put postage and packaging on top of that. And with the exchange rate now, most people aren't, I don't know, obviously, from other, webcomics, but most people aren't buying British books if it's got a pound sign on it, because obviously that's double the amount for you guys.
So what you're saying, what we really need is someone that if you were to order from Britain at a company like Kablam, and then Kablam were able to send your order to someone in the States who would then take over your distribution to the States.
Exactly.
That would save
That would save you over double the money, actually.
That's it. There's when Zoinks magazine first came out, and they did up all newspapers, and it was fantastic. And they finished, so I tried, you know, trying to like, sort of do my own magazine, and most people buy it from the States, but basically I tried to keep it with a pound. You know, a pound is nothing over here, but that's $2, and then you've got shipping on top of that. So what was £1.50 over here is something like sort of $4 or $5 over there, and that's a lot for just a magazine. So if someone's out there, you know, who's set up a distribution center in the States, that's cut your cost down already there. And that's, you know, if you got someone in the States, that's brilliant.
So hold on, the United States is going to be your guys' Mexico for printing comics, is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Now, Baron Kitten's arguing that it's web comics, not print comics. And if you want to print it, it's not web comics. Well, not everybody's just doing a hobby comic here, and not everyone can easily make money off the thing. Now, some people can make their start, and they want to print their comics. So I can understand that.
Yeah.
And
that's where most webcomics make their money, is through selling prints, selling commissions, and selling compilations of their webcomics.
Mostly, you know, selling t-shirts.
I do a lot of that. But yeah.
No, have you noticed all the really good webcomics out there that are making their money are actually making money on t-shirts that have nothing to do with their webcomic at all? It's just like slogans or catchy phrases, and I'm like, okay, yeah, what does this have to do with a webcomic? It's like, you know,
nothing.
We'll have to reapproach this topic in a different show completely, because it can be a big one. But right now we do have to take a quick break. We're already at the 25-minute mark here, so we're going to take a break from recording, and we'll come back later.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
I do apologize, man.
No, that's fine. Okay.
We took the whole grayscale thing into a whole new direction.
Now, is there somebody else in the chat room that has something to call in for? Otherwise, I also got another email I'd like to read, which is really long. It's probably going to take me 5 minutes to say.
Oh, no. Sorry. You've only got 2 minutes. I'm sorry.
Well, see, that's the thing. I cannot have everything very long. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to discuss it.
Okay.
Because, you know, I really wanted to keep this show only to be about an hour, and if I have a call-in show, it'd go in forever.
Yeah, but
just slide,
well, it's when these calling people don't have a time slot, you know? They have like a time slot. You know, 2 minutes, 1 minute, or we'll cut you off, and, you know.
Yeah, but it's us prattling on that's taking up the time, not the...
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, well, I'm going to start up again, and we're going to let's see here. Hang on. Oh, man, I can't figure out all these windows. Let me, hang on, I'm going to contact this person back, since he was calling me. Maybe he has something to say.
Hello?
Yeah, Jacob, hello. He's been
Hi.
Hello.
You're calling in?
Hi, I am waving.
You're calling into the Webcomic Beacon. How's it going?
It's going well. Calling in from Sweden. Let's see. Did I have anything to say? Yes.
Yeah. Well, who are you, and what are you doing here?
Well, it's a good start. I'm Jacob. I have a webcomic which I just started. It's in color, and I mean, my point was that, you know, while black and white, it can be a stylistic choice. I mean, color it implies a higher production value, regardless of what you're doing. And, I mean, at least if you're on an amateur level, which most of us are, then that sort of it helps to identify the characters, if nothing else. When I did my first sketches, I couldn't tell the characters apart. And then I added, colors, which made it a lot better. Then I found out about shades. I added shading as well. That made it a lot better.
That's actually a good point. Aaron has complained that all my men look exactly the same, and my only defense is the hair color is different. Like, that's all I have.
It's not a bad...
Do they all look like an IT man by any chance?
Jeez.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, one of them does.
Jacob, to answer kind of what you're talking about, my comic went through the exact same progression. I started out in black and white, and then I slowly added color, and then I slowly added shading. And so I totally see what you're talking about. That's exactly what I went through.
So did you guys, I obviously start black and white, and then did you go to grayscale, then color, or did you just make the leap from black and white to color?
I made the leap. Boom, boom. Just like that.
Really?
Well, I started my webcomic last month, so it's in color.
Hey.
Wow, you're ahead of me then.
Congratulations, you're ahead of the team.
Thank you.
Well done. Well, yay! But I don't know. It depends on grayscale, I think. You know, like we were saying, with grayscale, you don't have to show the colors because people are imagining the colors. It's a bit like when you're writing a story. You know, you say the red table. But what my opinion of a red table is a different color to, obviously, Tanya's or, you know, everyone else's. And it's a different view. So in grayscale, you are coloring in the actual comic. With black and white, it's quite hard to actually do that. And with color, you're stuck with the colors that you've got. So I don't know. I'm more a fan, I think, of grayscale because it lets your imagination go rat wild.
Right. It's a bit like when comics get hit when they do animated versions of their comic and they have people come in and voice the characters and people get mad because in their heads that's not what that character sounded like. And I could see that with a comic like, you know, Octopus Pie or, you know, any of these or with Dead Days where suddenly they come out with bright yellow shirts and I'd be like, that's ridiculous for that character. He wouldn't wear that. You know,
they've been wearing pink all this time and they've got yellow shirts.
Then you got to color properly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you don't like the color of a thing, make your character paint the color a different color if you don't like it that way. You're not necessarily stuck, but...
The point is with grayscale, it's more individualized. I my mind gets to wander a little bit and kind of determine for myself the way it looks.
I think it would be so funny if Dead Days did a color comic and basically all the grays that we see are actually the proper color. That is what it is like in real life. He is wearing a dark gray shirt. He's got a dark gray trousers. He's actually sitting on a dark gray couch.
And they're sickly pale too.
Exactly. And then just suddenly a color image comes on and people are like, oh my God. You know, that is
this is really the color. I am emailing him immediately and demanding that happen.
Yes.
That would be the best comic ever. I think he should save that for 500 or something like that. Something major.
He already hit 500. No, that is 500, yeah.
400.
For as much crap we give this guy, you know, he's getting a lot of, you know, publicity.
And I like the comic, so don't give me the lead of this guy.
I can't look at it long enough without getting bored.
Again,
have no imagination.
I think that's a personal problem.
it's just not defined enough, but you know, that's, we already talked about that. Jacob, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, anytime.
Thanks very much, Jacob.
I'm gonna go over the email that we got. Where is it? Oh shoot! So many freaking windows. Okay, this.
You've only got 2 minutes.
This is gonna take me a little bit longer. I don't know if she's listening in. Oh yeah, she's not gonna be here. This is Tara of the webcomic Galaxian, which is at galaxiancomics.com. She's saying, I'm just gonna go ahead and read this, and I'm not gonna try to clip it while I'm reading it. My comic Galaxian is in black and white and has been for the past 15 years, long before I ever moved it to the web. Back then, there was no way an Inti small presser could afford to print in color. So beyond making color paintings for covers, we were all stuck with black and white, just like Bone, Strangers in Paradise, ElfQuest, Finder, etc. On the web, color is free, so it makes a lot of sense to work in color. I would imagine that many webcomic readers expect color, and a black and white comic looks strangely unfinished to them. I don't know how many readers get turned off by a webcomic purely for the reason that it's a black and white, but that might make an interesting poll on the webcomic list forum. Since I've been reading black and white paper comics for a very long time, though, I find the format quite comfortable to read online. I admire I admire pretty colors, but I don't see them as necessary. But as a webcomiker who plans to collect her work in a print volume, I need to keep in mind the cost of printing in full color is pretty darn expensive. And right now, Baron Kitten's probably making some sort of like, doesn't need to be. Anyway, back to the email.
He's actually on the email. That would be great to actually just see that in writing. Not just
live. Okay, back to her email. With print on demand, it's certainly possible. In ways we small pressers of the 90s could never have dreamed. The downside is you need to put a higher sticker price on your book to recoup the costs. Exactly. The old-fashioned offset printing would make more of an affordable book and would allow you to maintain the cover price more in line with color graphic novels from major publishers like DC and Marvel, but the minimum print run makes this almost impossible for the average self-publisher. There is some crossover with print comic readers versus webcomic readers, but they are still, I think, separate markets, and I would like to tap into both. So my choice becomes this. Do I make a comic in color to please the web readers? Do I make a comic in black and white to please the print readers? I expect that for me, as a long-form comics creator, the graphic novels will be my main revenue stream. So I'm sticking with black and white. And that's what Tara has to say about that.
Thanks. I think you make a comic as you see, because you are the artist. So you get to obviously choose whether it is going to be black and white, and I agree with her. You know, obviously there is the option, do you colour, do you not colour, or do you grayscale, in this case, or black and white, or cross-stitching, or whatever it's called.
Cross-stitching.
Sorry, I'm not into these terminologies, you say. You know, I think because you're the artist or writer, or you know, you're the group or whatever, you know, however your webcomic is like sort of made, you guys make that decision because of either basing on those ideals of cost for print or anything like that. But you make it what you want. As Tanya was saying, Octopus Pie. If Octopus Pie suddenly came like sort of in colour, it wouldn't be Octopus Pie. It would be something totally different. Whether it would be good or whether it would be bad, you know, that's who would know. But it would be a different thing. And just like with, all right, we're picking on Dead Days, going back to Dead Days. But if it did do a colour strip, would it be the same? Would it have the same sense of humour? Or would people, you know, get into it more? You know, would me and Tanya or, you know, you know, get into that like sort of feel of the characters or anything like that?
I think it adds to sort of the hopeless, you know, the hopeless extended youth kind of feel to the comic to have everything in washed out grayscale. So I might be a little disappointed if it went color. It would feel slapsticky then, and it doesn't feel slapstick now.
Well,
exactly.
Okay, well, there's,
and I can pay attention, unlike Fess.
Well,
Fess has a short attention span,
no,
2 minutes.
No,
you're out.
I swear it is not contrasted enough. No, there are. It's not like I don't read. I read a very broad myriad, whatever the word is. I read
spectrum.
A lot of different webcomics. I mean,
and spectrum is a color thing. You see, this is all going back. He's one of these colorists. He just does color. That's it.
Spectrum was your word. Okay, like let me just do a quick rundown. Okay, now I read a journal comic that is called Planet Karen, and it's a grayscale comic, but there are, you know, stark contrasts. There's black and white, and it's a lot easier to read and look at. There's whites, there's absolute whites, there's absolute blacks, and there's some grayscales in between, so it's a lot easier to read on the eyes. Let's see. Another one that I like a lot is actually pulls it off fairly well as a grayscale with an absolute black and an absolute white is the webcomic Thorn at mimisgrotto.com. A little bit of grayscale here and there. It doesn't go overkill, so there's not things aren't blending into other things. Let's see.
If it's the contrast that you really like, Planet Saturday Comics does excellent grayscale work.
Yeah.
You have the dark blacks and the white whites, and he does an excellent job. So I do understand, you know, what you're saying with the contrast.
Yeah, and another one I'll point over to you that has more of a grayscale is Sequential Art, which is at collectedcurios.com/sequentialart.html. Now, that doesn't really have as much stark all the time, but it's still something that does very well in defining things, especially with shadows and contours. And then there's just some, it's like, and then if you look at like, you know, there's, okay, just to reset my brain here, there's also a lot of black and white comics, which maybe just have like one set of gray that's set in there to help contrast things. I like, look at like Darkin. Darkin does a lot of a lot of cross-hatching and a lot of very good work with just black and white, and that's impressive to me, and it's eye-catching enough. And there's the thing with being a webcomic, it's color. It's free, you know. It doesn't, you know, it costs anything more to put it on the web.
I don't know, because I disagree.
You could argue that bandwidth on color is slightly more...
Okay, geez. Now what you could argue is that time is money, and it takes me an extra hour to color my comic than it would I just did some cartoony cross-hatching and left it. And I'm thinking about switching to daily with smaller 3- and 4-panel comics. And if I do, those will be black and white and cross-hatched because I can't afford the extra, you know, half an hour a day.
Well, then you know what I tell you?
Don't do it
daily. Do your color because that's what I've come to recognize. I mean, it's like a lot of webcomics could do, like, probably a lot better than what they're currently doing if they found a colorist or if they could color well. If they spent more time, it's like, you know, if you take a long time to put a webcomic out, but it still looks great, people will still read it. Like, what is it? Tales of the Traveling Gnome. Don't they update like once a month?
Yeah.
And nobody's leaving their readership. They love what they're seeing. Zebra Girl, while updates sporadically, it's not in color, but it's still, look at the freaking detail on the black and white. And
Copper is mostly once a month. And, I mean, it's excellently done and I come back.
But once a month, I'm probably like Fez on that respect. I would, in his respect, that he can't look at grayscale for that long. But I can't wait that long for a strip. I want it at least two or three times a day.
But
and,
I got 50 other comics to check before that month rolls around.
Yeah, that's true.
With RSS feeds, you know, you can wait. It'll just pop up.
Yeah.
But this is the other thing.
Well, but you can't. Well, that's a whole nother discussion about whether or not you put your comic in an RSS feed. But
I don't put my comic in an RSS. I just say it's updated. Go to the site.
Yeah,
that's what I do too.
That's what I do too.
Let my advertisers pay me.
Yeah, anyway. I didn't make my site so people could like not look at it.
You were saying about like why not take that extra time just to color it in. And there's a really good webcomic called The Everyday, which is at cadwell.wordpress.com, and he does an autobiographical like sort of strip. And I could not; it's all black and white, but I could not see that in color. You know, it just—I don't know how he does it now. It works well because it is black and white, and I don't know.
If it especially starts out that way, and it already looks really well, I say, you know what, that's. You don't really need to if you don't need color and it's doing really well and it looks really awesome, like I said, Zebra Girl or even Cass Paul at casspaul.zephyr.net. Just, you know, it has some really good work to it. it could probably look really better with the right colorists, but you know, you never know. I mean, sometimes it just comes down to poor execution.
Well, and there are a number of comics. I mean, the one that pops to mind right now is Evil Incorporated, which is now being colored by the guy that does Geek Tragedy.
Yes.
You do team up just a little bit, you know. Evil Incorporated is still written the same way it always was, inked the same way it always was, but now Ed's doing the coloring.
And it looks way better.
Oh, it's gorgeous. That's because Ed rocks. We all know it.
But in there with that fine line, it could go either way.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, if you can have a really crappy colorist.
Well, hopefully you wouldn't go out and actually find crappy colorists.
Well, no, it could just happen to be like that. But
wanted one crappy colorist for a webcomic who wants to turn from black and white to from grayscale to black and white.
Yeah, just
to
now Aaron up.
It always is going to come down to quality and time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not all of us. I've noticed, certainly, that a few of us are more, you know, a bit more busy than others. I know a few webcomickers who just sort of sit around, especially in the summer when school's out, and they don't have a lot to do, and they produce some really fantastic work during those 3 months, and then they just update more sporadically during the school year.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a mother of two starting a business, working full-time. I don't have freaking time necessarily to do brilliant work, but that doesn't mean that I just want to stop or go to once a month. I think there would be a riot among my readers if I went to once a month. They'd yeah. stop reading.
We've already got the picket line sorted, so...
Brilliant.
I was going to say, it depends, though. Like, what if you turned it into a whole entire, like, 30-page story, and you released, like, a whole 30-page story fully decked out once a month? You know?
Well, okay, but if I'm going to do a 30-page story once a month, I'm still doing a page a day, which is more than I can do. I can't do a full page a day. And have it color.
How about if your comics color at the moment and you want to go to like sort of doing it black and white, why not do obviously like we suggested earlier like sort of a time like sort of thing to do like a previous or you know something along those lines. So you're doing like a story that obviously like sort of relates to your comic, but also mm-hmm. that's set in the past, and therefore you can get away with it, and Fez, I'm sure, will actually read it for more than 20 seconds and actually enjoy it because it's set in the past and it's not like ruining the whole colorness.
I have ADHD.
Well, so do I. What? That's a crappy excuse. There's therapy for that. A little Adderall. You'll be fine.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah, like I need more medication. I can't afford
it. He needs cream for that sort of thing.
My plan was actually to do Monday through Thursday, black and white, small strips, and then on Friday, do full page color, and it kind of hearkening back to newspaper comics, where you expected black and white or grayscale throughout the week, and then color on the weekend. But...
So you're doing it color on the Friday. I would have gone color on the Sunday. Then it gives you more time to actually do that color.
You'd think that, but your brain already goes around and thinking, no, I got time. I don't have to do it. I can do that tomorrow.
I can't do weekend comics. I only do Monday through Friday. But, again, there's that eclectic life issue. So, you know what it comes down to? Nobody's going to be happy all the time.
Well, no.
Exactly.
Abe Lincoln was right. You can't make all of the people happy all of the time.
You can't please all the people all the time. At last night,
unless you hypnotize them.
My show.
If you hypnotize them, then obviously they're gonna love it.
Boobs. That's all we need is boobies.
Boobies.
boobies and cats and cats in microwaves.
There's just a couple more things. One other style that I've seen in a couple of places. I want to bring up before we finish up. Let's see, if anybody's read Daisy is Dead at daisyisdead.net or even Project Atom, which is at themortician.comicgenesis.com. Well, Daisy is Dead is more of like a color the background but leave the characters black and white. More like, I guess, to offset the how not colored it is. And Project Atom has all the characters, any moving character is in strictly black and white, and the objects around them and the backgrounds are done in a grayscale coloring. Now,
Daisy's Dead actually reminds me of Liz Greenfield's Stuff Is Sucks. Her, like, sort of characters, I'm sure, are black and white, but her backgrounds are very... Was it black? Her backgrounds are black and white and, like, sort of coloured, as in, you know, just one pale colour. And then, obviously, her characters, I can't remember. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think this style, it's okay to a sense where it helps the characters pop out of the gray more, where everything doesn't blend in too much to a single gray. But I do have to say, when Mort actually has colored versions of things that he does for his comic, they look way better, and it's like, dude, just color everything, it would look so much awesomer. But
is that a word, awesomer?
It is now.
Oh, right, okay. Copyright.
We have our Shakespearean rules. If you use it, it's a word.
No, if you use it, it's yours.
That's right.
All right. Okay, as everyone seems to have, like, their preferences of what they like and whatnot, does anybody want to plug any other webcomics that maybe break what you normally like, that it's an exception to your rule?
Oddfish.
Oddfish is
brilliant. Yes, I quite like Oddfish.
And when he colors something, you'd think it can't get any better with color than he colors.
Actually, Oddfish did some of the pages inside the Kids Book Project as well, so...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no way.
So see, we love them doubly. They love charity and brilliant work.
I really liked, what is it? I think it's finished now. I'm quite sad, actually, and it's a bit violent. There is offensive material, but Angry Little Robot, I don't know, I adore that, and I don't know why I adore it, from Jamie Smart.
Is it like angrylittlerobot.com? Do you know the URL?
No, it's www.bohdat.com/angryrobot.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to get that later and put it in the notes or something.
Oh my God.
It's PG-13. I best not.
Is it needcoffee.com?
It's
there
it is. It's Bohdate, I think it is. Or
oh, wait.
Bohdate.
That's it.
Oh, wait. There it
is.
Okay.
Oh, that's... He kills bunnies. You know, if my comic is in the show notes, and it's more than PG-13 at times, so we're all good.
All right, is there anybody left in the chat room that has something to say for this show before we close it off?
They've all left in droves.
Yeah, they've heard about the 2-minute warning. That's it. It's like the Oscars. You play some music when they have to finish.
And just get louder and louder.
Play some
music.
I'd
like to thank.
Okay, that's as much as we can use before we get
running around little carts and things. It's very funny.
But that's a copyrighted song, so I can't play the whole thing for the show.
It is rather copyrighted, isn't it?
It is rather copyrighted.
Actually, if I remember correctly, you're not allowed to play any of the song if it's copyrighted.
No, we can do less than, isn't it 15 seconds?
If it's a continuous thing that you're doing, if you're doing it like on the spot type of thing, it's fine because you're doing it as a reference and as an example. But you can't like take like the 15 seconds and continually use it in like a segment that's reoccurring.
Right.
Yeah, like
Russ Limbaugh's doing with the Pretenders song, which is horribly wrong because he doesn't give her any credit. That thing. Otherwise it's known as a sample.
Yeah.
This is political stuff that we should be knowing about.
This is interesting. Here knowledge.
I go being an activist again. No.
Hooray.
I'm an activist for the Pretenders.
Well, this is going to actually conclude the parts of the show which we're talking about the topic. Next up, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with, we're going to talk about news and what's not, so I'm not sure how interesting that's going to be. But thanks to everybody who's in the chat room who's participated in this awesomely successful open forum show that actually was open forum for change. So,
a 2-minute open forum.
I got to get off the stage. Okay. We're going to take a break, come back. We're going to have news and everything. Thanks to everybody. Mike, thanks for coming.
That's all right. Anytime.
Yay.
Hey, thank
all
you.
Right. Cue break.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net, free hosting for free thinkers. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Mark Savory with a webcomic review.
Hi there. This week I have for you a fun little comic I've had my eye on for a while now. And I'll tell you flat out to start with that this may not be a comic for everyone. It's a curiosity called Ted, Enter the Purple Gerbil by Joe Butcher. This comic is a humor strip in which the character of Ted, a purple gerbil, encounters or creates weirdness and mayhem. The humor in this comic is very British, sometimes topical with the occasional reference to something in the British news or culture, which is why I say it may not be for everyone. You have to have a feel and an appreciation for British humor to start with. If you already have that, then you're good to go and should enjoy this comic quite a bit, and I do enjoy it. The comic is simple in its layout. Usually one horizontal panel with a narration box. Ted himself rarely speaks. Ted is a sort of a Swiss Army knife character. He fits into any situation Butcher creates for him. The humor ranges from insightful to sardonic to angst-ridden to pop culture to outright violent humor. Think Happy Tree Friends kind of violent humor. And the comic can be very surreal at times. For example, you might see Ted splattered up against the panel like a daub of purple paint with just his confused face in the middle of it, and the text box would read something like, "Ted was feeling rather surreal today." Now, I just made that one up, but it's the kind of humor you may see on display here. In that sense, think of it as a British cousin to The Book of Biff, which is about the only other comic I can think of to compare it to. That sort of surreal, off-kilter commentary and humor on the human condition, it's very hard to do, and it takes some serious skill. But like Biff, I think this comic has it. If I were to use U.S. movie ratings, that would range on this one as well. Everything from a G to a PG, a PG-13, a soft R, and once in a blue, nay, purple moon, a hard R. One recent strip had Ted flashing the reader, but it was very cartoony and very funny. The language ranges between G and PG-13, I guess. There's some colorful metaphors, shall we say, from time to time. The characters, very nicely rendered. I love the line work here. And the way Butcher draws Ted's facial expressions is practically a textbook on how to draw facial expressions with the proper amount of detail, balanced with the proper amount of cartoony exaggeration. You can really learn a lot by studying how Butcher does this. Facial expression on your characters is one of the key elements in conveying emotion. I can't stress that enough. And Joe Butcher has it down to a science. Plus, he knows a thing or two about color. The coloring looks very professional here, very nicely done. He works with a nice palette that never gets in the way unless he specifically wants it to, so as to convey a gag. So, even if the humor isn't for you, dare I say, not your cup of tea, do check this one out. You can learn a lot about facial expression, exaggerated movement, color, restraint of line, proper use of space and balance within the panel, orthogonal space to you art majors, and so on and so on and so on. Ted, Enter the Purple Gerbil can be found at purplegerbil.com. That's purple, G-E-R-B-I-L.com, and is updated thrice a week. I'm Mark Savory, and until we meet again, take care.
For more from Mark, visit autumnlake.com. Time for a quick webcomic impression from Peter Tarkalich.
This week's impression is Anime Invasion, the comic. The concept is great. It's based on Somnio Ed Nexus, which, in short, means that the subjects of creative works that we do, such as anime, exist elsewhere, and the inspiration for these works is a form of interdimensional connection. The execution of the comic is where things fall apart. We're led to believe that a story will take place, but more often than not, we're just given gag after gag. Some of them are kind of funny, but it's just not what I expected at the onset. The drawing style is what I can only describe as generic anime. At times it's pretty sloppy, and I would have no idea what was going on in the panel. Not to mention, everyone looks so similar that I very often couldn't tell one character from the next. And no, different hairstyles is not helpful. It has potential, but it's not reaching for it. I got the impression that the comic is an inside thing with the creators and their friends, so if keeping it an in thing is what the creators are going for, then pay me no mind. Catch you next week for another webcomic impression.
For more from Peter, visit bartsworth.com.
See, like I said, I don't know how to do the goodbyes properly. So,
you know what? I think this, like, it's practically our moniker now. People know us by the bad goodbyes. I think if you got better at it, people wouldn't like it anymore. They'd be sad.
Maybe.
We like the awkward. So, click.
Yeah. if I remember correctly, it's always boobies.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Yeah, if you're calling in and you have Skype, close the talk show window.
Well, no, you can just hit the pause button.
Or that, too.
That's what I do.
All right, pause. Okay, yeah. That's why Amulet was kind of going out and seeing. But she did have some really good points. Though I forget what they were, but I remember agreeing with some of them.
Oh. Someone just sent me a picture of our Iron Man tickets. I'm very happy now.
Oh.
Are they like holding them hostage? These are your tickets. Send £1 billion to us.
Or I will send you one tiny piece of a ticket in an envelope every hour.
Hey, that'll be good, because if you do, you can actually tape it together and you've got a ticket.
Theater. We're going to an IMAX theater, no less. It's going to be Iron Man glory size. I'm such a nerd and I'm so excited.
I envy you so much. You get it before us.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'll be sure to tell you that it's very good, whether it is or not.
Thank you.
Well, Nismorak, you came in a bit late. Sorry.
Oh.
You can plug it for the chat room for sure. We can take a look at it, too. TheHouseOfMadness.com.
Now we're teasing him. Learn your time zones, Niz.
What is wrong with you?
Learn your time zones. If I remember correctly, I emailed someone saying, yes, is it definitely like 8 o'clock tonight? It was like, no, it's 2 o'clock. Oh, no, wait, it is 8 o'clock, yeah.
Where are you again?
GMT.
Yeah, that's why we need to use, you know, GMT.
Well, I always try to, or do.
You do a very good job, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, this was a big show. I didn't realize how much more we could have talked about this. I mean, we could easily. This is more like a debate topic, but we can easily talk about each of these types of comics individually for shows.
Yeah. We could. We should.
Yeah, and if I can't get that guy for next Sunday, we could talk about black and white comics.
I could do that.
Or even just, or more specifically, newspaper style.
So we're doing next Sunday?
if the guy comes on, we could do it next Sunday. Well, we can still do it next Sunday. I guess we're going to talk about news stuff now.
Yeah,
let's talk about news stuff.
Was that nude stuff or news?
News.
It'll probably end up either.
I had nude. I was like, well, hey.
Yeah, turn on your video cameras.
Oh yeah.
No.
You know, I'm still in my jammies. It's almost 3.
How about we start with a brief word from stripfight.org?
This is Byron of stripfight.org, bringing you the weekly ringside update. The theme for last week's round 154 was Gas Giants. Vince, the defending champ, came out with a left hook to the gas companies. John Stripp had an explosive punch. Aaron's jab proved being in us is just not as funny as being an anus. And while Tim pumps you up, Peter busts out the twins. In all, we had five contenders. With the highest average score of 3.59, Peter of DangNabbit.com is the winner. This week's round 155 Green Monster is going on now. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round 156, The Placebo Effect, still has a few days left before the deadline on May 5th. Get those entries in. Stripfight.org. May the best comic win.
Also, there's one thing going on, and I want to mention something called the Baron Kitten Film Festival. And this is an animation contest that's being held at Transplant Comics. Andy and Angie of the webcomic Baron Kitten are holding a contest to create a bear and or kitten-inspired animated GIF and post it to the Transplant Comics forum by May 10th for a chance to win a signed print or something equally great. Further details, we'll put a show link. We'll put a link in the show notes for you guys. May 10th. So go ahead, check that out.
And also, Beaver and Steve are doing a guest artist thing in which they're trying to obviously get... I know James Turner is trying to actually get an artist to actually help him out whilst he's got his busy lifestyle. And so he's basically... He's giving you the first strip, script, that's the word, to do. And then obviously it's just waiting for people to submit it. I think you've got until... When's the date here?
That's a crazy one.
The 1st of May. You've only got until the 1st of May. But obviously...
It's a huge comic.
Yeah.
That's entirely changing the comic. Holy crap.
Well, no, it's only for a few weeks, but... If it obviously he can't support doing the comic as well as writing for it and everything else, whichever artist he gets probably will become the artist for Beaver and Steve.
And that's quite good. I mean, that's crazy. That's a great opportunity.
It's a great opportunity, but it's still crazy because you're entirely changing the stuff.
Do you read Beaver and Steve? Random is kind of their motto.
Exactly.
Maybe I'm thinking of something completely different. I'm thinking of a completely different webcomic.
What are you thinking of?
John and Newt.
Yeah, that would be an entirely different thing. No.
But
yeah,
I see how
when I said Beaver and Steve, that somehow changed into Newts and stuff. It's my British accent, isn't it? Jolly good.
See, I work overnights, and I just worked overnight last night, and I haven't slept yet.
Oh, blame the sleep difference, the thingy, Majiki.
And I have ADHD.
And I've got a growth on my chest, and I can't sleep properly.
See, that was odd. What?
Baron Kitten hits 100 strips?
I'm trying to confirm it, but that's what he says.
Now that we've pissed them off for the entire show talking.
Oh, they're just ornery.
They're just ornery.
Yeah, you only get a 2 second mention with anything that's over 100, strips. I will get my words out today. Jolly good.
Very well.
One has the English language and Shakespeare to thank for that. You Americans went over too early to learn the Queen's English, as it were. Oh. Actually, what do you guys call it? Do you just guys call it English or American?
I'll call it American English because it's such crap.
Yeah. I actually refer to it as American now because my great grandparents were English. We owned Sherwood Forest. We're very horribly English, and I know English, and what we speak here is not English. So
I just call it English and bad English.
And then we have Ebonics, which is an entirely different thing, which is
That's just lazy, I don't want to learn how to say it properly.
And deciding that slang is proper.
It's come on.
Going out on the streets in London. That's chav,
yeah.
chaps.
Well, we also have, you know, but you can still understand.
I still don't understand how you get a G and an H together and it makes an F sound. Why not just put an F there? What the hell's with a silent H either? HD. What?
I thought you were going to say about GHD, like sort of hair straightness. Sorry, you went on about GH. I was waiting for the D at the end.
No, he's not talking about hair straighteners. Hair straighteners and chaps. There's an interesting combo. No.
Exactly. That is a webcomic in itself. That is.
You know, frankly, we can't even get schedule right. So I've given up schedule. On American.
You mean it's schedule, darling? Schedule.
But it's not. Look at the way it's spelled.
Well, on the BBC.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Just nod and agree with her. Just go, yeah, sure, yeah.
Nod and smile.
Tanya knows what she's talking about. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
What is that, Kiel? That totally bodacious, man. That's like booginess, yeah.
Radical.
Oh.
Radical.
That's gnarly.
Oh.
Actually, every time I hear American, like, sort of, you know, like, sort of punks and all the rest of it on, like, sort of films, I always think they're stoned off their heads. You Americans must be stoned off your head.
Like, I say dude.
Totally, man.
I say dude all the time. I say dude.
I say
dude to chicks, too.
My business card.
I'm like, dude, knock it off.
I always say guys at work, even though I'm speaking to a whole bunch of women. I'm like, all right, guys, come on, let's settle down. It's like...
That's acceptable, I think. I mean, I've seen
girls... No, they don't like it.
I've seen girls call groups of girls guys. Hey, guys, what's up? It's guys has turned into, like, a unisexual term.
Well, it's like mankind. We've just eliminated
mankind.
The gender.
Well, there's no...
What are we turning mankind into nowadays? What do we use it for?
Humankind.
Humankind.
Oh. I don't... Yeah,
too many syllables. Too many syllables.
That's it. Just call it kind.
My business cards actually say, dude, seriously, there's a better way. I kid you not.
Dude, seriously. Like, that's totally radical.
I say dude all the freaking time.
I do, too.
I do. It's like...
Hey, dude, give it...
I heard entire sentences.
Has anybody seen the stand-up by Dimitri Martin? He's kind of got a deadpan delivery, and he has this one joke. He's like, I wonder what the most intelligent thing that started with the word dude.
Dude.
Like, dude, these are isotopes.
Dude, it's gone supernova. Yeah. I could be that scientist.
We got to record the week's show.
Recording something.
So, Mike,
are we actually doing the news, or is this just like a, you know, like?
No, this is just bullshit. Now we're not doing anything at all.
No, this is what we class news as. News is the bullshit section. You know.
Wonderful.
should I keep this in the show? or would we completely bore people?
Tess, can't you make, like, a short version of the show and a long version of the show?
I don't have the time.
The edited version would be, like, sort of just Fez going, you've got 2 minutes, and that's it. A two-minute show. And then the other show, obviously, for the non-Fezes out there, would be, you know, like, sort of 6 hours long.
First started doing the webcomic Beacon, I was a nut about making the show no more than an hour. And I was going through editing, okay, what isn't important enough when I can chop this out just so I can get to it? And I don't have the time to do that. And I'm going to be going to school this fall, so I got to figure out a way to do less work.
Black and white comic, and people were bitching at you to make it color, but you just don't have the time.
Hey, yeah. Don't have your time.
Yeah, but it's like I said, it's like... If I want to keep doing the webcomic Beacon during when I'm in school, I got to be able to not edit it as much. So I got to streamline everything. Putting in the intro, all the little sound bumps, the different segments, that takes a lot of time because my computer takes a while. It needs to read the whole file, reread the whole file, splicing things together. It takes a long time. So it's shut up. don't mock me in chat.
It's crying on the inside.
I understand. I feel your pain. I would help.
All I'm saying is
I can fuck it up all on my own if you'd like.
I know we have listeners.
We have but one we have listener. Let's support that one listener.
Yeah, they want Dutch. That's why I sent you that email. Dutch said he wanted a longer episode.
What do you want, an hour and a half episode?
He wants the Lord of the Rings extended version edition of this
actual show. If
someone
wants to listen to all the crap in between the editing, they can listen live.
Yeah, they can listen live, and that's the beauty of
the
live.
And then they can hear me uncensored.
Yeah.
And all the poopy jokes.
But you don't really do a whole lot uncensored either. You're supposed to. You probably have the most filthiest fucking mouth ever, but we never hear it.
You know, in the last 3 minutes, I've said shit twice and once.
Well, you have.
Holy
crap! Now I gotta like
swear it all the time. It's just awful. My God, the language that has come out of your mouth today. It's just I don't know. I'm shocked.
I'm
the very
dirty girl.
I'm a guest here, and I've never heard such words uttered. I'm just, I don't know. I don't think one can do this anymore. You know, where is my trailer? Did I get a couple of copies?
Okay. Well, so should I keep this all in the show or not? Is it too, like, unrelated?
This could be like the director's cut version, you know.
I think it's funny. Everything. I mean, when you listen to downloadable content by Penny Arcade, most of it is them just talking and being completely unrelated and funny.
But that's a show. That's their show, though. Webcomic Beacon is a topical weekly netcast.
Oh, theirs is topical.
Did you know that?
It's not topical. It's about their comic.
Well, but mostly it's about, you know, the baby poop and just bizarre things.
The show that I actually listened to, I laughed so much due to the fact everyone else was laughing. So the things that we laughed at, I was actually laughing at because that's laughter is infectious, even if you just hear it.
I know, well, and I think it helps people like feel connected and they know you now. We can have stalkers.
They feel the love.
All I'm saying is that, you know, people are at work for nine and a half hours a day.
And when they want to listen on their iPods, you know, this is what they want. They want downloadable.
Yeah, we'll make like an experiment. I'll leave all this in. I'll leave all this in. We'll make an experiment, see what people think. We'll just roll right into the news. Okay. We got
the news.
That's our news, by the way, tune for over here, just in case you.
Okay.
Sorry. I'll just be quiet in the corner.
All right. Let's start right on over with the milestones for this week and even a little bit of last week or a couple weeks ago. I forgot. I meant to mention Sequential Art had hit 400 strips a little bit ago. I think they're up to 407 now, so I missed that. And it's usually hard for me to watch. So if you see one, let me know. Hitting 100th. Or so strip, or X year, let us know, and we'll plug it on the show. Also, Butternut Squash is celebrating its 5th year. TNT, is it TNT or TNT Comic?
It's TNTComic.net.
All right, and that's celebrating 200. And apparently Baron Kitten, which is at something or other, 68th Avenue or something, I forget, celebrating 100 comics.
What, you actually have to visit it on 67th Avenue, or?
Yeah, between 2 and 4 p.m.
Ah, right, okay.
It's a storefront. You open the door, there's just a comic on a desk. And then you walk away.
Oh, jeez.
You actually read the comic, or you just walk in, see the comic on the desk, and go, okay, yeah. They're updated this
week.
Very
good.
I would definitely walk away if I just walked into a store and that's all I saw. I'd get the hell out of there as soon as possible.
There's probably snipers.
But you see someone behind the counter going, hello, can I help you?
Not wearing any clothes either, so really.
Bunny ears. Nothing but bunny ears and fake.
That's Tanya's shop. She's only wearing pajamas.
Oh, jeez. Oh, okay, just a few more milestones here. Cartworks has hit their first year. That's at cartworks.blogspot.com. Alternate Reality Worlds hits its third year at dungeonwarden.com. Unamused Comics hits 100 strips at unamused-comics.com/comics.php. Autumn Lake hitting its third year at autumnlake.com. And Across the Way, the story has finally finished. So that is also a milestone that is, you know, we should mention. It's a big deal when, you know, a comic comes to its close. And
did we do the Beaver and Steve thing?
Do the Beaver and Steve thing.
We've already did. Beaver, I was recording it the whole time.
Oh, well, there you go. So go to is it beaverandsteve.com?
All right, we'll get it in the show notes. And what else do we need to stick in here? Upcoming episodes. Pending on if this person replies to me in time, we'll have a particular show on Sunday. If not, we might be doing something else completely. How do you guys feel about doing talking specifically about black and white or newspaper style comics on next Sunday as a backup topic?
Sure.
Does that include me?
Awkward silence.
He said guys. Technically, I am a guy, and I am here in this room, so...
You're stuck
with me now, aren't you?
Probably no. Just because...
Oh, it's all right. It's okay.
Okay. No. No offense, of course.
It's very chaotic.
Not taken.
I was going to say one thing before we forget. MoveOck, make sure you pimp your website and make sure you say something about it. Or is it full? You don't have it full yet, right?
What are you talking about?
No, he still has like 100 and some odd slots for the guest strip project.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah. I must have everyone. Actually, I really want to do, after August, I want to do a whole week of guest strips. I want to do a really hard challenge for me. Actually do a whole week of guest strips, so I want as many artists as I can, and I will be using them all. And I'm also going to be doing a book as well, which is going to have exclusive artwork, which isn't going to be any of the strips online. It's only going to be available to actually buy. So that's going to be one of the projects that we're going to do for the guest strip project. So it's all going to be all exclusive, all, you know, original stuff. And it's at www.gueststripproject.co.uk. Or in Fez's case, it's www.moveup.co.uk/GSP. Either one.
And again, the proceeds are going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation International, which I have had the, I don't know if it's good fortune or misfortune, to know families that have used Make-A-Wish Foundation. And there are some people who think it's kind of a trite concept to, you know, that sending a family on a trip doesn't make anything better. And it doesn't. It doesn't make anything better. But for a lot of these families, that is the last good memory they have with their child. And it is so important. So I very much appreciate the fundraising for their charity. And I'm sure the families that use it do as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I'm doing it too.
I think the janitor's outside the door. I think. Yeah, he says he needs to clean up the place. We got to get
out of
here.
Cat's in the oven. Got to go.
Yeah, the cat's in the oven.
Cat's in the oven. There's a microwave.
All right, Mike. Thanks for coming on the show with us.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me.
And no problem. Check the site webcomicbeacon.com for all the show notes and links to all the stuff that we were talking about. We got to get out of here. Everyone, thanks for coming. This is Fess.
This is Sonia.
And Aaron.
Bye.
Good night.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Often the words good and bye together usually help.
Without seeming rude, but yeah.
It's usually what's before the goodbye that's the bad part.
Yeah.
It's like, my cat's in the oven, click.